just like building construction, we're all a sum of all parts. And so I'm every bit of every bad company officer that I had and every bit of every good company officer that I had, because if it was bad, I was still learning. If it was good, I was still learning.
Firehouse Vigilance presents The Weekly Scrap, a podcast dedicated to the never-ending fight against complacency.
Courtney Moore, Firehouse Vigilance. This is Weekly Scrap, number 72. Tonight's guest is Jeremy Hurst. He's a husband, father, third-generation firefighter, 24 years in the fire service, and forever a student of the craft, a Bon Temps Fools member, co-creator of the LIFT Conference, which is the Louisiana Instructors and Firefighters Training Conference. He works SimPro performing Train the Trainers with Drager, as well as Insight Fire Training and the St. George Firefighters Foundations as its chief technology officer. So a lot of stuff going on. Jeremy Hurst, it is my pleasure to have you on today as the guest of Weekly Scrap number 72.
Thanks for having me on, bro.
All right. Looking forward to it. To everyone watching live, they're logging in here, getting going. As we get going, if you have questions for Jeremy or myself, do not hesitate to put them in the chat so that we can get to them and answer them. That's always one of the funnest parts. Did I miss anything in the intro? Anything you wanted to add?
No, that was a mouthful. That was a lot.
Keep on throwing it out there. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Getting this all set up. Here we go. I'm going to go right into the questions I have set aside for you. I'm going to start right out the gate by talking about LIFT. It's how I kind of first heard about you, first met you, was through the Louisiana Instructors Firefighters Training Conference. Kind of tell me how that started, how that came about.
Go. Well, that's actually a funny story. So me and one of the other co-creators, I hadn't known that he was thinking about doing anything like this. And I was working at my part-time and made a trailer fire. And guy just with no gear on, blew the door open and came back and, you know, okay, it's a working fire. we could have started that out a little differently. I was operating that day. But when I got back home that evening, I called him on the phone and I said, "Hey man, we really need to start like some training opportunities or something here in the state, 'cause not a lot of people had the same opportunities that we do." And he said, "Man, let's do a conference." I hung up on him. No.
Right out the gate.
That's not what I was looking to do, but he called me right back. He's like, "Man, I'm messing with you. But we're really thinking about it. We're on our way back from Revolutionary Tactics at the lake." Shout out to David there. Right. And we had a talk with the creator of that, and he gave us some pointers, and me and the guys in the truck are really thinking about it, and I know you'd be down for it. I said, "Sure, why not? Let's do it, man." And here we are 3 years later.
No, that's awesome, man. And the amount of work, like, until you've tried to put one together, you have no idea the headache and amount of work that it's going to take.
Yeah, I had kind of been a partial to some of that before, having a father that was a fire chief, and he hosted a few conferences, and of course he kept me in his back pocket for all of that. I guess he knew what I was in store for, and so I kind of grew up around that stuff, and I had an idea of what went into it, at least so I thought. And I guess it's what you make of it. If you want a successful event and you want people to have good quality training, then you're going to have to work your ass off for that. So if that's something that you're into and you don't mind doing the work, it's a lot of time away from your family. It's a lot of time away from your company. I mean, when you're at the station, you're making call after call after call. And then on your in-between time and doing reports, making sure the daily stretch is done and where we're going to do that. All right, now it's time to get on the computer. It's time to get on the phone. There's no downtime in that. It's a full-time job. <Non-stop. laughs> But it's totally worth it.
That's awesome. Totally. Of course, it was canceled last year like so many public events. And you have adopted for 2021 moving forward as everybody's dealing with all, you know, the craziness that is going on. So what's the plan for LIFT moving forward? What you guys got going on?
Well, we postponed it. We're still having that great lineup that we're going to have this past year. We're just going to push that back off until 22. But in the meantime, we plan on having smaller functional events to where people can come. We can social distance with everybody that we need to. We do have regulations here in our state, and it's not too different than any other state. So we're going to try and make those smaller, manageable classes and still get some of those guys in here that want the training, that want to do the training. And hopefully we can get those instructors in and have that one-on-one contact. That was one of the hooks for me, was going to a county fire tactic event and getting on the elevator with Brian Brush. And he's like, "Say, dude, you want to go grab a beer?" Yeah. Yeah. Let's go grab a beer. You mind if I pick your brain for 2 hours or so?
Right.
So, and it was awesome, man. And that's what hooked me onto it. And, you know, trying to model something like that is, you know, I thought I had an idea of what those would be until I went to an event like that. And it was just like, man, holy shit, this is awesome. And so eventually that's kind of how we're trying to steer it. You get one-on-one contact with an instructor, not that FDIC isn't, you know, the Mecca,
sure,
but you're not going to get that at a large scale event like that. You're going to be in a hot class or something like that, but there's just so many people involved. With a smaller event, you get that one-on-one time. That's what's worth it.
Love it. No, absolutely. And that's one of the things. There's so many quality conferences. Like you already mentioned, Revolutionary Fire Tactics. Like you mentioned, County Fire Tactics. FD Tactics down south, and Yard Lift. And I mean, they're all over, you know. And it's just amazing the ratio that you can get from that instructor to student on those. Advice you would give someone, like if someone woke up this morning and said, "You know what? I'm going to put together a conference."
Sleep on it.
Go back to sleep.
Yeah, sleep on that idea and think about it long and hard. And if that's something you want to do, give me a shout. I'll help out.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Okay, so we got, I'm going to catch you up on, Travis Caton says, "Jeremy Hurst is the man, solid brother." Seth Drow says, "Great man, great captain." We've got Reagan Underwood chiming in saying, "Good evening, guys." Howard Reinwald, Chief Howard Reinwald saying, "Good dude," with an exclamation point. We got Chief Andrew Starnes chiming in, says, "You guys all did an amazing job with the Lift conference." No doubt about
He's
it.
He's a man right there.
There's no doubt. We got yeah, already. And David Woodward, speaking of which, chimed in and said, "Love your brother." So there we got some introductory.
David's a great guy. Incidentally, Reagan is the guy that I hung up the phone on.
Gotcha. Okay.
He's one of the many people, and I say co-creator, there's about eight of us that are in on this steadily every day. And then probably another 30 more that come together, you know, 3 weeks out of the event. We have a guy that is just a magician in construction, and he can build anything. He's going to try. And Brandon Paddock, if you're listening, man, that guy is a big help. And along with the rest of the fools out there, they really help us out, man. And those guys just come out. It's all free. Not one person is getting paid from our conference. So 3 years strong, these guys will work literally till wee hours in the morning, wake up at 5 a.m. and get it done again the next day, man. They're awesome.
That is awesome. Awesome testament to the brotherhood there.
Yeah.
And not to mention, you say, I look at the quality of the, what is it, the promo videos, the hype videos, man. Those are some quality videos, my friend.
I didn't know how to do any of that until somebody said, you know, "We need to advertise that thing." And okay. How do we do that?
Right.
You'd be amazed what you could learn at 2 a.m. on YouTube. And taking a few classes, and you know, it's kind of led me to where I'm at right now, and I do love it because, I mean, we all know what we like to see. I mean, we're all firemen; we all know what's going to hype us up.
Right.
I'm making something that I think I want to see, and you know, it really helps having good quality educational factors to bring in some of the people that we're bringing in from across the United States. I mean, those are the stars of the show. I'm putting it on video. That's not hard to do with these guys.
Well, I edit video very little. So I don't even want to. So to see what you do, I know you're being humble about it because it's very impressive, man. You have a gift.
Thank you.
So biggest lesson that you have learned in trying to put together a major conference like LIFT?
Can't do it all yourself. Even if you're a one-man show and you say, well, I'm going to go out and do X, Y, Z to get this event started, ask for some help. I mean, you'd be surprised the amount of the people that would say, man, I'd love to do that with you. Let's do it. And I mean, that's quite literally how we got started. It was just a bunch of bros just like, man, let's put a conference on. Damn straight, let's do it. And we did. Who knew? It was a blast, too.
Awesome, man. No, and it's going good, and it's getting a great reputation. And so LJ Guy said, with a mustache like that, he's got to be a solid dude.
I don't know about that.
So I want to switch gears on you and shift away from LIFT, and shift away from the conferences and that stuff. And I want to talk to you about your next passion project, this thing that you have started. We talked about it on the phone quite a bit when I first started talking to you. So it's a documentary that, as of right now, does not have a name, correct?
No, maybe some guys could help me with that. It's definitely going to be about passion for the fire service and love of the job. I mean, we have a job that is like no other in the world, but there's something that, you know, not because of the things that we do and the things that we see and just the brotherhood that comes into it. I mean, that's what makes us different. I tell all the probies that get to my truck, you know, the guys on my crew at the time, Jalen, Jared, and Chevy, and Mr. Jalen, Mr. Jared, Mr. Chevy, they're going to help me out. Uncle Jalen, Uncle Jared, and Uncle Chevy will burn their fucking ears off to make sure I walk my two little girls down the aisle. And that's what it's about, man, just having that brotherhood with each other. And, you know, we're all, you can be as good as you want to be. You're going to fail at some point. Those men and women next to you, they're the ones that's going to help you out. And so we're constantly helping each other. And that's what's awesome. And, you know, I get to talk to a lot of these instructors and see what their passion is about. And that just fuels me even more. Yeah. And so those are some of the things that I think that those are some of the stories that need to be told. I know Ike he's mentioned how he got into it, and that's a very moving story, and you can feel the passion in that and the seriousness of it. And I've talked to a few other instructors that have told me their reasons why. A lot of them are trying to correct a mistake that happened to them or happened on a fire ground that they're at. They're trying to make sure that doesn't happen again. It inevitably does, but they're going to put their mark on the fire service and the way they see fit. And, you know, I always try and tell the guys, you know, my dad, he was fortunate and blessed enough. And, he was a fire chief in Baton Rouge. And in 30 years, when they tear that building down, there's a plaque on that building with his name on it. You know where that plaque's going to go? It's going to go right to the dump with the rest of that stuff. And he left his mark in different ways. And that's, you know, it's not a physical mark. It's your legacy. What are you going to leave on this world? And a lot of guys out there, you know, not necessarily even instructors, guys at a two station department and BFE, man, those dudes can be some solid dudes. It's not just literally the gold standard fire departments. We're everywhere. And I think those are the stories that need to be told.
That's awesome, man. That is, man. And I want to tell all the viewers, anybody watching, if you have a suggestion for the title of the documentary, Jeremy's wide open. So send it there. Reagan,
I'm taking them.
Reagan has already thrown one at you, which is Never Let It Go. So there you go. There's your first suggestion.
Yeah.
Tony Nunez says that's deep and how it should be. So definitely there. Now, so the documentary, it's going to be going around and collecting these stories. Is that how you envision it going? Is collecting these different passionate stories from passionate firemen?
So interview style. I mean, if you can think back to Band of Brothers, that one camera, one light, one person interviewed. It's not so much about all the bells and whistles at that point. It's about the words and the meaning. Sure, I'll have to follow them around to get some B-roll footage, you know,
sure,
and do the camera thing. But I'm looking at making a collection of short stories, pretty much, because as I started, and, you know, we had one instructor that meant a lot to me, and he pulled me aside, and we just talked about each other's old man and how they got us into the fire service, what they meant to us, and that was that was cool as all get out. But at the end of that conversation, I realized, you know, this is what it's about. This dude is here teaching at this conference, and that's great. But that's the lesson right there that nobody else is, hopefully people get, but I'm getting it one-on-one.
Right.
That was neat. And so the more people I can introduce that to, the better. I mean, I might sell it to Amazon. I might sell it to Netflix. It might sit in my garage. Who cares? If it helps one guy out, I feel it's worth it. I expect to go broke doing it, by the way. And that's okay with me.
Well, I've seen the quality of your video editing, and I feel the passion in your project. So between the quality and the passion, I imagine that there is going to be a market for it. So hopefully it will at least not break you in the process. And Netflix.
No, I don't think it will, but no. Hopefully there's some fireworks there.
Now, is it going to be a single one shot, or are you going to do a series, or how do you envision it, or are you even sure yet?
I'm not sure. I'm toying with the idea of maybe making an hour long documentary. But due to the fact that, you know, one of my mentors here, he just retired, and, you know, I have some stories here that can be told without even hopping on a plane. So, as far as COVID holding me back, you know, there's a lot of material, a lot of great people here just in the Baton Rouge and New Orleans area. And so hopefully as I get a collection of those going, I'll be able to post on the internet, you know, 7 or 8 while I film the next 7 or 8 and just keep them going. If that turns into a full length movie where they're all collected, so be it. I've never done anything like that, but
right.
Yeah, why not?
Awesome, man.
I never thought I'd be doing a conference. I'm doing that.
Renee St. Pierre said that documentary is what the fire service really needs. Can't argue with that. Now, have you already? Okay, so I'm trying to figure out. I know a lot of it's a work in progress, and you're figuring it out as you go,
yeah,
and all that. So, have you decided on who you're interviewing for the first bid, or just kind of got a tiger by the tail? Are you looking for people?
Yeah, well, both. I've had several commitments. I don't want to name them by name because, you know, something happens, something changes, and that isn't there. I don't want to be the disappointment.
Sure, sure.
Documentary. but at the same time, you know, I'm still talking to people, and I'm fortunate enough and blessed to, you know, with SimPro and Insight, as Chief Starnes tells me, you know, you get to climb up on the mountaintop and then go back down in the valley. And, you know, he's 100% right. And, you know, when I'm there and I'm meeting so many people, you just sit and talk to them and being real for a little bit, you really start to get their story. And you're like, man, this guy's got it. I want to tell this guy's story. Hey, would you mind saying that on camera? You know, well, then we'll have to have that discussion and start to talk turkey, you know, about really doing that. It's a nerve wracking thing being on one end of the camera and then jumping on another end of the camera. Okay. I totally get it. Here we are.
Right.
And, so once you get over that and people are able to tell those stories, I think that's gold. That's really what pushes the fire service.
100%.
That way, that's what makes us different than any other job in the world.
No, and just being able to, like, sit at the kitchen table and listen, like, when an old timer stops by and starts telling the old stories, the war stories, the sometimes the inflated stories, sometimes, you know,
yeah,
it's so much fun. A cup of coffee and a kitchen table.
Yeah, hopefully that's what we're all striving for. You know, you can walk back into a fire station 15 years after you retire. Oh, you're Captain Hurst, man. Come on in, have some coffee, bro. Sit down. Let's talk.
Right.
You know? hopefully they're doing the same thing with you. Hopefully that's, you know, something that we're all working towards, that, you know, we're not collecting information to collect information. We're collecting information to give it away.
Right.
And none of it's new. None of it's, you know, I've invented nothing that I've taught. Other people have. Hopefully I'm repackaging into a way that, you know, they can understand it. And if they're down with that, great. If not, okay. But that's what we should all be working towards, is to give this away, give that knowledge away.
Ooh, I love that, man. That's what we should all be working towards, is to give it away. Dude, yep. That's great. That's great. Tony Nunes says, there's your title, Talking Turkey, the reality of today's fire service.
That's damn good, actually.
Talking Turkey. Yeah. Seth Drow said, bumper time is learning time.
Yep.
And then Shannon Hurst, Dal Puzzle. No, if I messed it up, I'm sorry. Proud you're my brother in the fire service, and even prouder you're my brother from the same mother. Mom and Dad are looking down and smiling.
That is my sister. Thanks, Shannon.
And then Billy Penn said, there's a book title idea, a cup of coffee, and a kitchen table.
Yeah. The kitchen table is probably one of the most important things. It's just as important as the water on the trucks. That's the problem solver right there, man. That's where everything's going to get worked out.
Oh, absolutely. So, this is a question that came up in my own head. You said you have a lot already in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the New Orleans type area that you've already got. Do you see it being regional, kind of almost like maybe your first one is all there, and then maybe the next sets are different places, or do you want to spread it out everywhere? Which way is your
vision? I want to spread it out everywhere. I've got a couple buddies out on the West Coast, and a couple on the East Coast, and some in between. So I would probably get a collection of starting right here, cut my teeth on it,
right,
and kind of fine tune and hone my skills on it. But just so it wouldn't seem like a regional thing,
right,
I would actually kind of sprinkle those in at different points. One of which is going to be very important to me. I won't tell you which one.
Okay.
But it was a guy that meant a lot to me, and he helped me personally. And so just to hear some of these guys talk about his stories, man, it is some of the funniest and best stories you can find. No lie, man, this guy's great. And, you know, it touched me. And I think that should be touching other people as well, you know. And that's what it's about. All of these guys, all of these men and women that make up the fire service, there's a lot of great stories out there. And so that I'm not focusing on one specific region, one specific fire department, I've got endless material.
Right.
I mean, where do you stop?
No.
You don't have to.
All I can say is hurry up and get it done, because I want to see it.
Yeah.
Everybody in here is like, get it done. Tyler McDaniel said the title is Give It Away. So you're getting suggestions. Good. You're getting suggestions.
Tyler's also a guy I may be talking to as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. What is the time frame you have given yourself, or is there even a deadline, or is it all just kind of amorphous and out there in the future?
Yeah, it's out there. 21 is going to be a year to get it started. And because I am toying with the fact that it may be a 15-minute, 20-minute web series video that happens once every month or something like that. I mean, there's no finish to it. Really isn't. And I'm looking for that to, you know, to be the side hustle. So there will be some travel involved, and
sure,
man, it's tough to do right now. But that's not going to last for forever. So as we come out of this, that's really my deadline to get started. As we're starting to ease restrictions and things like that, that's when I'm looking to start to go.
There you go. Good. And hopefully that's sooner than later. So hopefully.
I hope so.
Good,
man.
Lord. Now, I want to say you seem to be very much a believer in passion, tradition, and camaraderie. I think that's a safe thing I can label you with from the today and our phone conversations in the past. How important is that to a culture of a department, the embracing of it?
The most important thing.
The most important. That's, okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not all in, then what are you? I mean, nobody shows up you got two ends of the spectrum, okay? And everybody shows up expecting to be Kurt Russell their first day on the job. I mean, maybe their first day in rookie school, everybody's sizing each other up and, you know, I'm Kurt Russell. But then on the other end of the spectrum, you have what you think is in a Clifford the Big Red Dog book. And then so somewhere in between is that perfect spot. And it, you know, it might take you 13 years to hone in on it, but those other people there, those other men and women standing next to you, they're going to help you. And yeah, that's the most important thing. I mean, that's going to push your passion for knowledge. That's going to push your passion for doing the job physically. And that's going to culminate everything together, your passion for the job. That's the most important thing out there.
No, keep it connected to that why.
Yeah.
No, I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the shared why, and then that shared tradition. Yeah, it all ties together. I can't knock that whatsoever. So let me ask you this. If you're a firefighter that works in a place where he feels like their passion is being stifled, you know, there's no love for the tradition or the culture, you know, it's becoming more of the corporate, I don't know the right words, but it's losing sight of that tradition and camaraderie and passion.
Right.
What's your advice to that person? That's probably the number one question that gets thrown at people. So now I'm the one throwing it at you.
Well, fair enough. And I hate to answer it with a question, but have you talked to a firefighter that hasn't had that happen? I haven't. Even the most passionate guys, they have issues. No place is perfect. So once you get with that core group of people, I mean, it doesn't even have to be on your company, just men and women on the job where you're at, you're going to know who's who. And once you stick together, man, that's going to help out. And that's why I say that passion, that camaraderie, that's the number one thing, because you may not have an awesome assistant chief. You may have an awesome assistant chief and a crappy fire chief. Who knows? I mean, they're out there. Okay. And that togetherness, that bond, that, man, what are you down for, bro? Come on.
Right.
Let's go outside and hit the battle ropes for a little bit. You're right. Let's go. You know, and that's what's going to help you. So my advice to anybody who has struggles with that, lean on each other. That's the best thing you can do. That's what we're here for. We're here for each other. If we're here for them, we're also here for us too. That's the best thing you can do, man. Lean on each other.
Find that like-minded person and lean on them. And then be there when they need to lean. When they hit that valley, be there for them. Yeah, dude, I love that.
Don't make them feel awkward about it. I mean, just know that might be you the next time, you know, and help them out. That's your brother. That's your sister. Help them out.
Nice. Nice. I got more titles to throw at you. Brian Russell said title, the why.
Yeah. That's a good one. Way to go, Russo.
Jalen Gerald says, and he's got a lot of likes and hearts on this one, so I'm going to throw one too. He says, big worm throwing wisdom. Is there a story there?
Yeah, he's actually a former firefighter of mine, and that's a nickname, big worm.
All right. There you are. Mark Iso says, I like the once a month idea. It's like a mini podcast with video, along with broadcasting a wealth of knowledge for the present and future generations. Pretty good synopsis. I do like that. I mean, I don't know what the schedule would be like to get that out, but it depends on how many put in the
Well, it would. Yeah. I mean, that's my ultimate goal, is to have that once a month thing, because if I'm filming one, editing, it's going to take me a month. I mean, I still got to go to work. Right. And, once that gets done, don't release it. Go out and film 5-6 more and get a little cushion.
Sure.
That way, once you start releasing them, you can start doing them at the same time.
You got that buffer?
Yeah, you can set that thing up on Facebook, and it'll release at a time and date that you tell it to. And then once the world, you know, sees it, hopefully they like it.
Hopefully they come back come back for more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes,
absolutely. All right, we got too many people just want a paycheck, Tony Nunez says, and that's true. That is true, and that's where you can lose that passion. Murphy J. Arsenault says, the fire within again. He is with Chief Starnes on the fire within. Corey Archieta? Artita. Okay. Thank you. He says, doing a great job, brother. So there you go. You got your encouragement coming at you.
Thanks, Corey.
All right. Getting back my notes. I had a question for you here about leadership. And I want to know, have you personally been more impacted by bad leadership or good leadership in your life? Which side of the spectrum do you fall on?
I'm about 50-50, actually. And I know that's a vanilla answer. That's a safe answer, but you have to think of it this way. Just like building construction, we're all a sum of all parts. And so I'm every bit of every bad company officer that I had and every bit of every good company officer that I had, because if it was bad, I was still learning. If it was good, I was still learning. So, yeah, I've had some bad leadership before. I wouldn't necessarily call them bad leaders. You know, as you talk to Van Oppen, you know, there's no such thing as a bad leader. There's just leaders and dicks. So, yeah, that sums it up. I mean, he hits the nail perfectly on the head. I've been into that situation, and I learned from all of them, and I appreciate every one of them that I've had, bad or good. I learned something, and that was helping me, and hopefully that, you know, that's helped me help other people. If it was a bad example, don't do that.
Let's not do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be good to go if I don't do that. I've had a map book thrown at me. I've never thrown a map book at somebody.
Right.
And you know, it was an honest mistake. I passed a street up, map book fling my way. Okay. There's better ways to handle that. At least that I thought at the time. Then my operator misses a street. Where are you going, buddy?
Right.
Calls that way. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, and we learn from it, you know?
Sure.
And there's ways to move past it. So, like I said, I'm a 50-50 mix. I'm a mutt when it comes to leadership.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. Gavin Reynolds said, when having a bad leader, one positive is you learn what not to do. So right there.
Absolutely.
100%.
I mean, I've heard another chief give another chief advice, and he was replacing a guy that was a little rough around the edges. And he told him, whatever you do, just don't do that. Outside of that, you're going to be okay.
Go, yeah.
That's the easiest, simplest wisdom that probably meant the most.
Tony Nunez said, I said it before and I'll say over and over, some of the best learning experiences are what not to do. Hey, and that doesn't even have to be a bad example. That can be our own mistakes. I mean,
right, absolutely.
I'm the best at learning what not to do by trying to do it that way the first time.
Probably the first 3 years as a company officer, I just slap screwed that up. I learned from every bit of it, though. Everybody was, you know, quick to tell me, like, what are you doing?
Right.
I don't know, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to fix it. So,
learning,
yeah, I learned from those mistakes.
Jalen Gerald says, Jeremy has impacted my fire career from day one. He takes each firefighter and officer who has been under one as a personal task to show them the service from his view. From the words of the man himself, want to be a firefighter, not want to work for the fire department.
Yeah, that's something that's something hopefully I gave to him, and he'll give to somebody else, and a mentor gave to me. There's two kinds of people that are at the fire department. Those that want to work at the fire department and firefighters. Which one are you going to be?
Well, that's powerful.
He asked me that question. I was like, shit.
Yeah.
That dude's on to something, man. He was right.
No, it's solid.
Absolutely right.
We need more leaders who will go and ask people that question right from the get-go and set the path on their careers.
And this was in the context of a conversation where he's calling me on the carpet.
Right.
I did something wrong. And he got me with that one. He made me think. I had nothing to say, but damn insightful. Yeah.
All right. Early times as a young officer, the training officer coming in, Justin Lorenzen, early times as a young officer are difficult. It really makes you realize what you don't know. At least it did for me. No, there's no doubt. That's what you
said.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you can think you have, like, I always say this when I'm teaching a class or anything on leadership, and I'm talking about, I was the best decision maker ever when I rode backwards. I could make, instant call, man. It didn't matter whatsoever.
Yeah, and I thought I was ready. I thought I got to that point, and boy, was I friggin' wrong, man. I thought I was ready for that, and I wasn't. But that was something that I took very seriously. You know, I might work for the fire chief, but I have to report to a wife.
Right.
I have to report to somebody's kids. I have to report to the public every day. So I'm going to take that with the utmost seriousness, and I'm going to learn quickly. And I did, and I'm still learning. I'll never stop. That's the unattainable carrot out in front of you, man.
Never stop. I love it. Now I want to ask you this one. This is a question I've been waiting to ask you, because you've done the conference. You've gone to a lot of coffee runs and beer drinking with some buddies and meeting instructors and one-on-one time and all that stuff. So who has been your favorite? And I'm not trying to like pin you down, you know, especially with people in here that you've taught with and things like that. But who has been your favorite instructor / speaker and why?
Aaron Fields. And he, look, a lot of other guys, they have that same passion, but Aaron's articulate with it. He can get you, and he's going to make sense. And he's one of those instructors that pulled me off to the side and was like, hey man, let's go talk. And I was just like, man, this is awesome. And it was just straight knowledge the whole time. And he wasn't trying, he was just being him. And the system that they've come up with, the nozzle forward system, that's money, man. I mean, that's helped me out so much. 24 years in, I was like, where was this 15 years ago? Why haven't I heard of this? You know, and then when I finally fell into it, now I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to show my guys, and I asked Aaron, you know, how do I implement this back at my department? He said, get on your knees, do it. That's the way you do it. Work's the shortcut, brother.
Work is the shortcut.
Dude's right. Yep.
So, and there was no hesitation there at all when I asked that question. It was like Aaron Fields.
No. that was definitely it. And I could name a bunch of others, but Aaron really inspired me, and as he does a lot of other people.
No, there was Corey Artieta. Yeah, you have to say the name for me. Corey Artieta?
Artieta.
That's just okay. I might get that right by the next time I read it, maybe.
That's okay. You there's a couple Louisiana names in there that was
Fair enough.
Just hard to spell and hard to get, but I get it.
I'll keep butchering.
I got an easy one. That's all right.
I'll keep butchering. He said nozzle forward is the best training I've ever done. So,
and that's coming from a training officer.
There you go.
And this guy's been around the block. He's no joke either. And, yeah, it is. Best training program out there.
Awesome, man. Awesome. And I've heard that.
And you can just tell that Aaron's on a mission. He's on a mission. He's hell-bent for leather, and he's going to change the fire. He has changed the fire service, and he's not going to stop. And you get that from him within 5 minutes. That guy's on a mission, and you know it. And you better hang on every word.
There you go.
That's good stuff.
All right. Now, always on the scrap. I love books. I love reading, and I'm always looking for new books. So I always ask the guest if they have book or books that they think firefighters should be reading. Nice.
Right there. One More Light. James Gearing. Definitely. Probably halfway into chapter one. It was like a guy that I worked with. And then way into the chapter. look at the notes. I purposely didn't mark mine up because I'm going to give it to somebody.
Gotcha.
And now he's putting out the audiobook, and I just want to get the audiobook so I can listen to it on the way to work again, you know? And, just an extremely insightful, well-written book. Much like the author, very insightful. And it was worth every word, man. I learned a lot from that.
Awesome.
Really did.
One More Light, James Gearing. He was on a few weeks back. It was a great, great, great conversation.
Well, I watched it. Yeah.
So he's an interesting dude. And
absolutely.
I think you're the first person to suggest his book as a book that firefighters should read, other than, you know, of course, the author himself. But that's awesome.
I mean, yeah, Report from Engine Company 82. We can go, but that one right there, as of late. That one's really got me thinking. You know, it wasn't just a good story about the fire service. It wasn't a great story, period. It was a story. It was real. And there was, you know, there was a lot of healing in that. And it let me know, you know, I've done a lot of editing, and I ended up editing a lot of Dina Ali's webinars.
Oh, really?
And which was awesome to do. I was shout out to Brett Graves there. And it let me know my own red flags. And so reading that book as well, it kind of just all kind of intertwined. And then reading Tribe by Sebastian Younger. And if you're going to read one, read the other.
Sorry, I'm writing these down. Definitely. So you know.
Yeah.
I'm not paying attention here. I hate missing. All right. 82. Boom. Awesome, brother. Nozzle Forward is the best training I've ever done. That was Artita. Then training officer said, loving the rep for the Fools. And that was why I was flexing, because I'm repping the Mid-America Fools with my shirt tonight. So.
I thought I had it. There we go.
There you go.
Yeah. Always. That thing doesn't leave my wrist, man.
Awesome. All right, brother. It's time for the 5 questions for firefighters. I know you know it. And so I'm looking forward to it. Of course, all the answers are completely your opinion. The points are arbitrary and passed out by me. There are no correct answers. So, Mr. Jeremy Hurst, are you ready for the 5 questions for firefighters?
I'm ready. Hit me.
All right, here we go. Question number 1. What is the number one issue facing the modern fire service?
Poor leadership. All the problems come from there. Or ego. And both go hand in hand.
So hand in hand.
If you look how many classes there are on leadership. That should let you know. That should set off a red flag. Yeah, I mean, they've got a ton of leadership classes out there, and all of them are quality. I've sat and listened to most of them. Who is out there that is not listening to this? That is still in leadership positions. That's got to be the craziest thing. That's where the ego comes in.
No, I was going to say, does it tie right back to the ego, the fact that they can't absorb all this knowledge?
I think they can. I just think they choose not to.
No, and because that's a great point, man. There are some, I mean, everywhere from Von Oppen up in the Northwest all the way down to Isaacson in the Southeast and everything in between, you can catch a great leadership class.
And it's needed.
Yes.
It is absolutely needed. But there's a reason why it's needed, and that's the number one issue. I mean, if you want to look at it, as far as the sleep studies and things like that James was getting into, there should be leaders listening to that, but there's not. That's why it's so hard to get out there. So yeah, leadership, that's the issue. Nozzle Forward, man, I can't tell you from a guy that's been on a pipe for the majority of his career. Yeah, that thing has helped me out. Why isn't it everywhere yet? Egos, leadership. So yeah, that's the number one issue. Probably always will be.
No, I think, and that's one of those things I say is back, you know, Napoleon was probably sitting and talking to his generals going, you know, like, we just taught this class, you know, and you're still doing
right. Yeah.
And back to Marcus Aurelius talking to his Roman generals, you know, and he's like, why can't you just, yeah, no, 100%.
Absolutely.
Like, there's so few and far between a chief that will get down and learn with his guys, or is it just the sorry. I know I'm posing this rhetorical question to you.
No, that's a deep, deep rabbit hole, Corley. But I can tell you what, if you've got a chief that will get out there and get wet and dirty with his crew, yeah, okay. They got my respect, and that's somebody who's leading from the front. So yeah, if you're in that position of leadership, or even if you're not, get out there, man. Have fun. That's what this job is about.
Dude, I love that.
You can't tell me, however long you've been on the job, you can't tell me when those tones drop, you're not the least bit excited to say, I'm going to help somebody. The worst day in their life, we're going to help these people out. And that's fun. let's all go do it.
Dude, that's great, man. I love that. And this is the thing. And I see you got me talking right in the middle of your five questions. So you already know you're getting max points on the first one, because one of the criteria for getting max points is to get me to start running my mouth. But I've never heard a firefighter say, man, my chief came out here and did reps with us, and I don't like that. They all respect the person that does it.
Yeah.
They all do. Like 100% say.
Yeah, I wish you would just go inside instead of out here on the
side. Yeah. He came out, threw on his gear, and
said no firefighter ever.
Ever.
No. Ever.
It's like the easiest.
Yeah, so if you're in that position and you go outside with your men and women,
but
you don't have to say a thing.
That's
just go out there and do it. Drop the mic, go back inside.
That's it, man. That is
it. Let them have some fun.
Okay. Max points for that one, sir. Good job. You got me going.
Thank you.
Number two, what is the thing you are most excited about for the future of firefighting?
Young firefighters. The younger generations. And like we just sat here and talked about the leadership and Brunicini's the Chainsaw Whisperer speech, you know. That really struck a chord with me, because I was that guy. I was that guy griping, oh, man, these younger guys. Somebody was bitching about me just the same way. But somebody's got to stop it at some point and say, you know what? Not everybody grows up on a farm with a chainsaw.
Right.
It's 2021, for crying out loud. There's not a lot of need for them out there like there used to be. And so this kid grew up in a neighborhood, but guess what? Might be on the saw next week. Bitching about it ain't going to solve it. You better go show them. And that's, you know, that's what it needs to be.
Love it. Love it. Do something about it, accept it, or bitch about it. That's your three choices, right?
Right.
Do something about it.
Yeah, don't nobody want to hear you bitching.
No doubt. Unless you want to wear them out. All right, number three, best rank or position to have in the fire service?
Company officer. Whatever you call it. We call it the captain or the skipper, but yeah, that's, you can learn how to protect your men and women. You can learn how to shape them. And if you want a good company, you know, they're just like I was much like a family. I was a product of my first company that I was in. That's what I learned how to be. And as a skipper, I was really able to see how much I was able to affect that. So yeah, absolutely. Skipper's the best position.
100%, man. That's such a, yeah. And I'm just tacking on to you because I like to, you got me going. Senior men matter, rookies matter, firefighters matter, the guy on the pipe matters. The chief at the top desk matters.
Yeah.
The battalion chiefs and the shift commanders matter, but the backbone, the day in, day out culture and excellence of the your fire department, of your service, will be determined by those guys who are the company officers.
Yeah.
The standards.
And when they have a good company because they tried for it, then they're all pushing each other.
Oh, yeah.
The firefighters are pushing the skipper. The skipper's pushing the firefighters. Somebody's got the operator out there. He's pushing himself, trying to get all the bells and whistles going straight. And then it's just a big ball of positive energy that's going to push forward. That's when it's going to start to affect the next dude company.
Yes.
You know, man, you saw how those guys got off at that alarm? They were sprinting. Everybody had an air pack. They had cans and hooks out. I'm not showing up not like that on the next call where I'm running in for them.
Like that? Yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to show up like that for you. And then, I guess I have to up my game. So,
no, I love it.
And that's the way it goes. Competition. It's great.
No,
it's awesome.
The rising tide. And all those boats.
Absolutely. Yes. Just as long as it's not a competition to go down, we're all good. And if you're having fun on the job, it's not.
No, and when you can make it fun, I mean, that solves so many problems at the department, at your culture. When you can make it fun, when that morale is in a positive, just the positivity. So anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to your five questions for firefighters. Now quit talking. Best advice you have ever received?
Oh, man. That's kind of a double-edged sword, because it is the best, and it also set me up for failure. Leave the job at the job and leave the home at home.
Hmm.
And the reason why I say that is because there are some things that you're going to bring to the fire station from home man, me and my wife just got in a bad argument. You want to go talk about it? Yeah, let's go talk about it, man. And you're going to, you know, you're going to be able to vent and maybe hear some good advice. Same thing. I just went on this bad wreck and I need to talk to you about it, babe. But there's some things that you probably don't need to hear. So we're going to leave that at home. But also when I say it sets you up for failure is because eventually when you do bring that home or do you bring it to work and you're not acting out, you just need to vent. You're thinking in your head, like, did I just mess up? Like, is this the right move? Is this the wrong move? So it's a double-edged sword for me, but probably one of the best pieces of advice is, you know, home at home, work at work. And I like to blend the two, and sometimes that's wrong and sometimes that's right. It's just per the situation. So, yeah.
Solid. Final question. Number 5, heavy fire and searchable space. Would you rather be assigned to the nozzle or first in on VES?
Give me the pipe.
Take the pipe.
Every time.
Every yep. time. There you go.
Yep. Nozzle creates tenable space. And what those people are doing, you know, on that second floor or over on the Bravo side, hopefully they're going to have success, but they're going to have success because of the work that pipe is doing. And every time that's where I'm going to be. Yeah, I'd love to go make the rescue. And I've made some on the pipe, made two on the pipe. But that is the problem solver. And that's the problem that we need solved right now is the heat, the smoke, all that needs to go away. We can deal with this issue of victim's trap much easier if the fire is not raging. So let's put the fire out too.
Love it.
And if you can have a coordinated attack with VES, you know, successful, that's the way it ought to be. But that pipe, yeah, I'll take that.
I like the way you smile when you say it too, man. So I know it's
absolutely. And every guy that's worked under me knows, don't give it to me because I'm not giving it
back. It's not coming back.
No, sure enough, I caught my lieutenant and my firefighter pulling some ceiling. And I walked up into the attic just to check on it. And I looked over the plenum and I could see flames. And I said, hey, man, give me that pipe real quick. And he kind of reluctantly passed it up. I said, give me that, boy. And then off we went. And he was in the attic. And we finally went up there and fire was out. He learned real quick. Don't give Cap the pipe.
They call him Captain Nozzle Hog.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. He got to have his fun in there.
No doubt. Yeah. That's awesome, man. There it is. The 5 questions for firefighters, according to Jeremy Hurst. Excellent job, sir. Thank you for doing it.
I hope I scored well.
Yes, always. no right answers, just your opinions. Best place to contact you, book a class or get you know, talk to you about your documentary, find out information on Lyft and where it's going, how to get in touch with you.
St. George Firefighters Foundation.com. And, or if you're looking to, yeah, well, I mean, if you've got a great name suggestion, Zeke@ZombieBaconProductions.com. That's my startup production company. And hopefully that's going to be the carriage of the, documentary. So, yeah, if you got some suggestions or even somebody you think that's got a great story, man, I'd love to hear from you. Maybe we can get that on film. That would be awesome. So, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Where was I at? Okay. A couple things. This is my shopkeeping, Zombie Bacon for all your wedding videography needs. That's Joey Baxter coming at you with that.
Joey's a great guy, man.
That's awesome. I got
great
a couple
instructor.
Couple things I wanted to touch on for the scrap, which is a few episodes ago, I got my Christmas gift from my guys. They gave me this beautiful coin holder.
That's
now I'm
awesome,
trying to fill
man.
It up with coins. So Jeremy Sanders of Crew First Culture, I don't know if it'll focus on that or not, he sent me this beautiful coin. And so it's the next one being added to the collection.
Wow.
So if you have a badass coin that needs to go in the coin collection, get it hold of me, send it to me. I'll feature it on the scrap and show it off before it goes into the display case. The other thing is, today I'm repping my Mid-America Fools. So you can see the shirt there.
Yes, indeed.
If anybody has a conference t-shirt, a badass training cadre that they want to be repped on the scrap, send me a shirt and I'll wear it on the scrap if I think it's cool. If it's not a cool shirt, I'm not going to wear it. I'll just be honest with you. But if it's a cool shirt, I will rep it on the scrap and we can talk
Absolutely.
About it. So anyway, those two things I wanted to say. The last thing is, I'm aiming for June, but we had two line of duty deaths here in Oklahoma at the end of January. Two guys doing search, building collapse, the residential roof collapse up in Waynoka, Oklahoma. So I'm going to work on, and it's kind of coming together at a high rate of speed, but work on putting together a conference. There's been a bunch of, I don't want to say too much right out the gate, but a bunch of awesome dudes who've already volunteered to be involved in it. There's going to be hot classes. There's going to be great speakers, and if going to try and get that put together. So there'll be more information coming out about that, but 100% of whatever it brings in is going to go to the families from the Waynoka fire. So that's what I wanted to announce. Coming up on the scrap next week, your friend David Woodward is coming in to talk about Revolutionary Fire. So I got back-to-back conference guys to pick their brains on. So
there you go.
It's going to be fun times. And then I'm heading down to HROC to see Ike. And then we'll be back with Shane Bentley and Sean Donovan coming up. So anyway, the scrap's just cranking along, and 2021 is cranking along. Thank you, everybody, for the comments, suggestions. And Jeremy Hirsch, thank you for being a really fun guest this evening.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having me on.
The audience, I hope the tone stays silent unless it's burning. Everybody stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Scrap. Please subscribe and please share. We'll see you at the next episode.